talk to some other people in your situation, in a similar situation, and get some ideas from them. I think a lot of what I gain from speaking on the panels with you and others is that inspiration of what others are doing. Even though I feel like we are quite far along with our journey, there's always things to learn from others and what they're doing.
Great events create great brands, but pulling off an event that engages, excites, and connects audiences? Well, that takes a village. And we're that village. My name is Alyssa.
I'm Paulina.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Felicia.
And you're listening to Great Events, the podcast for all event enthusiasts, creators, and innovators in the world of events and marketing. Hello, everyone. What has been going on in this wide, wide world of events? My name is Alyssa, and I am your host for this week's episode. Today, I am joined by my wonderful colleagues and fellow hosts, both Rachel and Felicia, for a little bit of a interesting episode that we're going to construct here today. New format for us. We like to try all new things. But before we get started, we have a little bit of sad news to share with our listeners who have been following along with us since the beginning of this ride. Our dear fellow host, Paulina Giusti, has departed us not only from the Great Events podcast, but she has left our organization to fly into the stratosphere, what I think, and to a new opportunity that she has with a really great organization, whom we hope to have back on this podcast at some, but from more of a customer or a pundit type perspective. She certainly is a thought leader in our eyes, and we just want to thank her for all of the great work that she did on this podcast with us as our fellow co-host. I don't know, Rachel or Felicia, if you had anything else you wanted to say about Paulina.
No, Paulina is just an amazing person, and the three of us are going to stay friends with her after this. So it's bittersweet to see her go, but I'm so proud of her. She was here for those dedicated listeners. She's been at CVET for 10 years. She gave a really amazing decade of insane innovation and growth to our events team, and I could not be more proud of her. And she's going on to amazing new things. So I'm excited to have her back as a guest host because I think she's going to come on and talk about some epic events that she's doing in her new organization. So congrats, P. We are going to miss you so much. I already do. It's already week one and I already feel the pain, but you know, that doesn't mean that I'm not super proud of her. So it's great.
Absolutely. And I'll just add a small thing. I rejected her personal resignation. You know, when she sends out that like email of like, guys, it's been 10 years, you know, I love you all and whatnot. I was like, I reject this. I don't know why you thought I would take it in. I am not allowing you to resign because we are going to stay friends. So I'll be WhatsApping you all the time. And I'm going to give that as a tip, some advice. If you're going to like work with someone for 10 years, reject their personal resignation.
Reject, delete it. I rebuke thee.
No, I mean, one thing that can be said, though, is like, if you're happy for the people that move on and they move on and upwards, like, that's a good sign of a, like a good company that's groomed you into the next step. But I, on a personal level, screw you. You should come back. Why do you leave? But on a professional level, I love you. I'm so happy for you. I'm proud of you.
It's funny because we have, you know, kind of our planning production calls that we meet regularly on with our whole team. And I was kind of reflecting. I don't know. It's not January. So I was in a reflecting mode today and just thinking about the progress that it takes to think together, right? This podcast is now in its third year of episodes. Paulina has been along for the ride in the beginning. And I'm thinking back to how we tried to get it off the ground. And it took us, I don't know, 3 or 4 months to get our lives together. It took us some time to get our podcast up and off the ground, right? And get this running. And we never lost sight of wanting to do this. And now that we're in the third year, we're starting to see kind of the fruits of the labor. We have, you know, people reaching out to us on LinkedIn that want to speak. We're starting to speak with those partners and guest individuals on other types of industry events. And it really feels like this has been something we have nurtured for a very long time. And I just want to thank Paulina for her support of that and this experience and just building something together. That always feels really good and very rewarding on a personal note in a professional space. So, okay, enough about you, Paulina. We love you so much and we miss you already. However, we've got other things to talk about and better great events to explore. So Felicia actually had a really interesting conversation with an event agency located in London called Chorus this past week. related to their sustainability efforts, which we know is very much top of mind for every event planner, event organizer these days. It's just kind of table stakes now for the modern event organizer. So I ask for you to give us a little bit of an overview of that conversation, and then we'll actually roll a bit of that footage from that conversation. And then Felicia, Rachel, and myself will come back and have a little bit of discussion around the meat of that conversation. But Felicia, just give us the high level overview.
Absolutely. So I met with Group Managing Director Cassidy Knowles. I've been on many a panel with Cassidy. If anyone's ever been to Event Tech Live, or just can't even think of so many events we've been on sustainability panels together. And what I love about it is we joined the sustainability panels just after the pandemic. And Cassidy was able to give us that kind of like, you know, during the pandemic, this is what we did, which you'll hear a little bit about as she explains it. And then I've almost been with her on her journey of like, and here's where we are today. And so I thought she'd be fantastic for this, helping us to understand how she has implemented sustainability in her business over the past 2 or 3 years. So hope you enjoy the conversation. So here I am with Cassidy Knowles, right? And you run Chorus, right?
The group managing director of Chorus Creative Group, because there are three entities under our banner now, Chorus being the creative live event and production agency, and then Scotch Creatives being our drinks marketing agency, and then Chorus Arts being our art-led experience agency. Yeah, thank you for having me.
That's all right. So lots to manage. So I know we've been on lots of panels and bumped into each other at loads of events, and we always end up talking around sustainability. It seems to be our panel expertise. So I wanted to catch up with you just on what are you doing at Chorus? Because we always talk about how it's a bit of a, what is actually going on? So what are you doing at Chorus around sustainability?
Yeah, so we're quite lucky in that we're quite far ahead in our journey of sustainability. So we started in the pandemic when things were a little quieter and got our ducks in a row and said, who do we want to be when we come out of this, whatever it was, and decided that sustainability was absolutely an angle we wanted to take the business in. So we promptly joined Isla and used their tool Trace to start measuring firstly ourselves and then what we're doing with our clients. We took everybody along the journey at the same time. So everybody in the agency does the sustainability and events training that Isla offer and all the different modules. So we pick 4 modules a year that people do. And when I say the whole company, I mean everybody from the head of finance down to our junior designers. It isn't just the project delivery team doing that. And we think that's really important in terms of making sure that everybody's on the journey. We also made the decision not to hire sustainability in, but to create it from within. So everybody in the agency is responsible for it and cares about it a lot. We've also found that it's really helped in hiring people, especially the next generation. They really care about sustainability and the planet and what companies are doing. So having that sort of holistic view rather than having specific roles doing it within the agency has really helped us there. Fast forward to 2024, April, can you believe it? We are going for our ISO standard, ISO 20121 this year. We've been carbon neutral and carbon positive actually as an agency for a couple of years. So we wanted to take the next step. And we know there's lots of accreditations out there, including B Corp. And we felt that ISO was the next right step for us. It's also being updated this year because it was born obviously in 2012 for the London Olympics as part of that legacy. And it's being updated for Paris, hopefully in time for Paris this summer. So we will benefit a lot from all of those updates that are incoming. We engaged a consultant to help us through the process, and he went through the audit with us, and we were really happy to tick off almost 70% of the standard before we even started. So we were clearly going in the right direction there.
I love that. You've just like jam-packed me full of so much goodness. So the first question I have there is, how many people are in your organization that do this training?
So 20 of us at the moment, and 4 roles pending. But yes, it will continue that way. And I know I said we don't hire sustainability roles in. That doesn't say that for the bigger projects, we don't have a part of a role dedicated to sustainability. On our big projects, we do, because clearly it does take up time to do that reporting. And we want to make sure that we're doing the best job we can there. But on all of our other sort of small to medium sized projects, we would provide a sustainability report as part of our service, as what we do. And it's woven into the production and project management time that we are charging our clients.
Could you give me an example or just a taste of what's large scale for you? How big are we talking for some of your larger projects?
So I would say anything in terms of revenue from 750 upwards, $750,000 upwards.
Okay, so there's some hefty projects. And because the reason why I ask is because I know a lot of larger organizations especially will say it's difficult, it's hard, it's tough. And I put those two things together. I heard you say, you know, 20 people in an organization. So some would say it's easier for you because it's less people. But actually you're dealing with huge, large scale events and large projects where you are taking sustainability very seriously. So that's both ends of the spectrum there, I think.
And actually, as a business, it is quite easy for us because we're smaller and we started off in a completely virtual environment, which clearly cuts out all those office emissions. So we're back to hybrid working as an agency. We do 3 days in, 3 days together, 2 days wherever we like to call it. And it's not only because of that sort of work-life balance that has now come out of the pandemic, it is about sustainability as well. We do measure our working from home emissions too, and they are getting more and more accurate with the more data that we put into those, and encouraging our employees to be on the renewable tariffs in their homes. So it extends far beyond just what we're doing as an organization. It goes into people's personal lives. Even this morning, we have a bi-weekly sustainability roundtable with the team just to talk about generally how we're getting on, any questions. And we were talking about sustainable fashion and if anyone knew any sustainable fashion brands. And it's good because they didn't. And it was really interesting because everyone can think of fast fashion brands, but not many people can mention sustainable fashion brands.
Oh, interesting. I love that it permeates like every area. It's not just, oh, we've got to do this for work, but actually it's getting everyone to really think about what's their personal impact on the world.
It's habitual, right? It's like when we first started wearing seatbelts or not smoking in pubs or recycling. They're all quite new things in our lifetimes. So it's about changing your habits, and the same with sustainability.
And if you were going to give some advice to another organization that's, I don't even want to say at the beginning of their journey, because we should be past that now, right? We shouldn't be at the beginning, but that feels that they're hitting a bit of a wall or it is a bit of a struggle. What kind of advice do you think you could give to them?
Talk to some other people in your situation, in a similar situation, and get some ideas from them. I think a lot of what I gain from speaking on the panels with you and others is that inspiration of what others are doing. Even though I feel like we are quite far along with our journey, there's always things to learn from others and what they're doing. And other agencies might be on their B Corp journey or have received their B Corp certification, which is an incredible achievement. And you can learn so much from even going on the B Corp website and filling out that initial survey. You wouldn't even think about changing your bank, changing your pension scheme, all those kind of things that don't touch you day to day, but really are important to the sustainability of the organization and also make you think about things personally. It's made me think about my pension personally and who I bank with personally as well, about what's good for the planet, not just good profit.
Oh, I love that so much. I guess we're a supplier. You're a supplier in that sense, in the supply chain. When I have suppliers, we had one of our suppliers recently tell us, we're a B Corp. I was so excited because actually it made me feel like not only have, you know, they've done a good thing, but I work with them and I want to work with them. And they've done something that's made themselves more sustainable, which, by, you know, just makes me more sustainable. So that's the impact that you're having as an organization on the clients that you work with. They would be happier to know, oh, thank God I work with this agency, because I think that makes them look good as well, in a sense.
It does come through, and we get asked a lot about it in creds meetings because we put it front and center. We always start with that piece because we're really proud of it and we think it's really important. And I don't know why you wouldn't think about that. And it's always an offering as part of any pitch proposal or proposal we do to clients about how can we reduce this impact that you are going to have. We obviously don't want to talk ourselves out of doing events. That's what we do. We're in the live events business and we do travel around the world globally for it, and that's an amazing perk to our business. But it's about the best spend of money that is for the people in that organization and for the planet as well.
Thank you so much, Cassidy. I know it's short and snappy, but it's amazing.
Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, that was such a good interview. I was so happy that she took the time to sit down and just express what she's doing. I think we should like dig into that a bit, because she started by saying, like I said before, she had started during the pandemic. They all thought, this is some downtime, guys. We don't have all the events coming in. So why don't we use it to make ourselves look better when this thing finishes? And they started by looking at sustainability, which is just so inspiring. But I think that's a cool thing for us to talk about, because people often say, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. And so like to that, I think she proves just get going, just do something.
Yeah. And I think this like zero excuses policy is the best policy to have. Like one little thing will truly make a difference, right? I don't know, Rachel, I know we're in like the throes of Cvent Connect planning, and this has been, it's been a slow roll for us to get things moving on sustainability for our Connect events, but I feel like we're in a good place.
It's exactly 2 months out from Cvent Connect right now. When this goes live, probably sooner than that, but yeah, for us, we're doing a couple cool things. I think one thing that I want to be able to say is that we don't use any single-use plastics at events. And that is so hard to do, because just with giving people water, not everybody brings their recyclable water bottle. And so you end up giving away more swag water bottles. And it's like, is that really sustainable, giving away more throwaway swag? So it's like, it's kind of this conundrum. But I think if everyone can just like make a conscious effort to make that a rule at their conferences, honestly, like even if it's just one big conference that you do and all the other ones like might be harder to do that at, but just make it at your biggest conference or biggest five conferences. Like I think that would make a world of difference. One cool thing we're doing this year is one of our sponsors is Intuitive AI. They are bringing a robot that is going to stand by the trash cans, and you basically take your trash and you show it to the robot and it tells you what trash can to put it in, which I am so excited to see. A little sneak peek for folks coming to Cvent Connect, but it's just a wave of the future. And I know a lot of venues and hotels are already doing this with the three different trash cans that are at venues, but a lot of venues don't. And we're also reliant on how they throw away waste, right? And so a lot of times when you're sourcing, you need to source responsibly for the venues and the convention centers or the hotels that are actually doing these programs. And if they're not LEED certified, or if they're not in some sort of sustainability program, like maybe don't consider them. Like, let's not have like this culture anymore. Let's just do it. Enough talking. Let's do it.
I tell you what, in the UK, it was at Eventech Live on their green stage. We had someone come along from the Department for Environmental something and something a bit more, DEFRA. And she was telling us that, you know, single-use plastics have been completely outlawed. This was last year. So here, any restaurant you go to, anywhere you go, it is all wooden, everything. And it might fall apart after a while, but by the time I tell you, yeah, or a glass. But by the time you've had your meal, like you don't really need that thing anymore. So it's really easy to then go and throw away and recycle it. So you can't even find single-use plastics. And that makes me think about the standards. Like the country has just said, no, like we're not having single-use plastics. So as an event organizer, you can't even make that choice anymore, which I think is kind of a cool thing if you're trying to achieve standards like she spoke about in that interview of like ISO standards or B Corp standardization. You know, you've got to kind of just go for it and do it, like we're saying, you know, good thing and go.
I want to touch on what Rachel said, this notion of culture too. What I found really compelling about the conversation was just how the newer generations are starting to push the culture shifts organizationally. And so this is becoming not a nice to have, not a like afterthought, or even at the event level. This is now becoming part of the corporate culture, and that's permeating into the event programs. And so I think this will be a very quick change as a result of that kind of new hiring process. These early professionals are not going to choose to work for these companies that don't have institutionalized policies across every function. So it's an interesting commentary.
I tell you as well, I'm going to, you know, IMEX Frankfurt soon. I just chose my meal for the gala dinner. And it said in the options, you know, would you like to choose the vegan meal or the meat-based or fish-based meal? It told me what the carbon emissions would be for each of those. Immediately, I was kind of triggered to choose the vegan meal. However, I like flavor, right? Culturally, I like to be entertained. I want to eat something I enjoy. So it had a link out to the menu. And it said, okay, the vegan meal is a sweet potato pie with this, that, and the other. I was like, that sounds amazing. I'm not even interested in the other meal now. So I feel like I've been fully informed as an attendee to make a decision that is actually better. So that cultural change of, you know, get your whole organization to go with you, get your attendees with you, I think it's such a cool thing to do.
That's such a great practical example, like give people exposure of what that option even is, because we so frequently say, do you want meat or veg or whatever, you know, these are all your options. and you don't really know what you're choosing, you know? But if you like really make the better option even that much more compelling, so many people will choose that. It's a no-brainer. I find myself doing that at weddings. I always want the vegetarian option because it's so elevated. It's always like a butternut squash stuffed risotto or something. And you're like, that sounds better than the filet I've had at every other wedding. So,
but to Rachel's point where she was like, you know, your venue has to help you with this. Like your venue, they are the chefs and they're going to source the food and make sure that it is appealing so that those sustainability choices are things that as a planner, you can get behind and say, yeah, I think I would choose that for my audience because you don't want to be lumbered with just like a mushroom.
I think if you're able to do the choose your own adventure style, that is the best option for your attendees. Like I went to an event once and they just had everybody had the vegan option and they like, I forget what it was, but it was something they were trying to make into something that looked like meat. And like that trend, I hope that never comes back. Let's like call it what it is. Like just call it what the real food is and like make it good enough and protein based enough that it's a sustainable or like sustainable in multiple ways, right? It gives you energy, but it also like is good for the environment. But I cannot stand the mushroom shaped like short ribs. Like you're not fooling anybody.
I feel that same way about a spaghetti squash trying to be pasta. I'm like, it's not pasta. Don't try to trick me.
Oh man, I love it. So one of the things Cassie said was about it being habitual. It becomes ingrained in you. And you know, she was telling about her staff. It's like, what are you doing at home? What are you doing for your renewable energy and things like that? I think our attendees, like you just said, you can't fool them. They're either making these decisions or they're not. And so if you give them the choices, they'll say, well, actually, do you know what? I've been thinking about doing this anyway. And thanks for giving me the option. I think I'm going to make that choice. But how hard do you think it is to get people to make cultural shifts in large organizations and your attendees? What do you think?
So hard. It's decades and decades of doing the same thing and like changing vendors, creating that culture where people actively think about it. I think, you know, it takes time and it takes like a lot of reiteration with communication. And the culture we have in the US with events, like a lot of people are getting better about thinking about it. If there's signs next to every trash can being like, actively think what you're doing, or you don't offer anything besides wooden or paper plates, you know, paper straws should burn in a fiery pit of hell. Paper straws should just go. Just drink out of the glass like a normal person. I'm just kidding. But there's like active things that you can change, and not just in the culinary space, right? There's other ways you can impact sustainability, like how many days are you using electricity at your conference and so on. And so I think you should look beyond just the single-use plastic. Maybe that's the starting point. And then you have like three more attainable goals that you can recommend. And I think a lot of people struggle right now, especially in the bigger company space. Like it's easier if you're at a smaller company, but it's harder when you're at a company with 5,000, 6,000, you know, 100,000 people, even something small. But that's where it makes the biggest impact. Something small creates the biggest impact.
And I can testify, I mean, I work with customers who are doing thousands of events, right? I know our program rivals that within our own meetings and events team, but that small step across 1,000+ events is actually quite monumental if you really think about it. It's not just one small step. It's actually many, many steps that add up. And so when you're talking about these large organizations, just one policy change that can be rolled out across that sea of events is actually really, really significant and can be built upon, right? So just do one, then do another.
I want to give a shout out to Lori Allen at MetLife. She stood up in a, I'm not going to say which event it was, but it was a leadership event, you know, recently. And she's like, we as leaders get together and say, okay, we're all going to do this one thing or these two things at our programs next year and sign a petition or sign like an agreement for the industry that says the industry won't do this. And she's like, we as leaders can do this. We are in charge. We can have the power to do this. And we just need somebody to help us at these, like maybe at the association level or somebody that's at the advocacy level, like helping us make those strides. And I think it does start with the venues, like for a lot of the things that we do at conferences, but it also starts with the planner saying, we need this.
The new normal, the new requirements, if you will. Yeah.
100%. We had a very similar thing, funnily enough, a year ago where people did try and sign up to it. But the problem that people found was that it was almost hidden. It's like, you know, if one person does it from one organization and it doesn't permeate through the industry, then another person tries it again and there's a pledge and there's another one. And so there isn't this place that people can look at and go to and be like, oh, that's what everybody's doing. So then it just kind of becomes a bit piecemeal. But hey, look, I agree with what you both said about the one thing, like, but you mentioned, Alyssa, you said one policy change. And I actually think that's the word. It isn't just one change. It's one policy change. We won't do things that way anymore. And it's a standard.
The standard across however large your program of events is, whether that's 3 events per year or it's 3,000 or 30,000, right? You start to institutionalize things, and that institutionalization becomes a culture shift too. And those two things also do meet in the middle to what I was saying earlier. You know, the culture is pushing the institutions to change, and the institutions are pushing culture changes as well. There's an interesting dynamic there.
My planner brain wants like a strategy meets checklist, right? I love checklists. And I would just love like, let's just start with like a top 10 things checklist, right? That you can do. And maybe it's like, and then there's sub bullets under each of those things. And like, just highlight one thing, 2 things, 3 things a year and implement it. And I could take my own advice here, by the way. Like, there's some things that we need to do better.
Yeah, I'm so ready to go. Can we land on, I loved what Cassidy said when she said, when she pitches as an agency, she pitches and starts with how to reduce first, and then enables the client to say, ooh, I don't really want to make that change. I don't want to make that change, you know? So
there is an order of operations here for sure. Yes, yes. As a former recycling nerd, I can say reduce, reuse, recycle is very important in that order.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that is so important. People think, oh, but we offset with this. And it's like, no, no, just use less first. And I think I would like to, if, you know, if that's the thing I took away from it, it would be like, what is the first thought? The first thought is reduce. The first thought is, how can I do the best?
Adopt a mentality of reduction, that you don't need to be as bountiful as you are. In fact, you create a more bountiful experience for the world, right? If you take on less within your own space. So on that note, I will wrap us for this week. As always, very much enjoyed this conversation with you, Felicia and Rachel. And Felicia, thank you for bringing new outside perspective from London to the conversation today. I think it really helped enrich our own dialogue this week.
Yeah, shout out to Cassidy. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much, Cassidy. We really appreciated having your voice present on this week's podcast. And listeners, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Thanks for hanging out with us on Great Events, a podcast by Cvent.
If you've been enjoying our podcast, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode.
And you can also help fellow event professionals and marketers just like you discover great events by leaving us a rating on Apple, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform.
Stay connected with us on all your socials for behind-the-scenes content, updates, and some extra doses of inspiration.
Got a burning question or an epic story to share? We want to hear from you. Find us on LinkedIn and send us a DM or drop us a note at greatevents@cvent.com.
And a big thanks to our amazing listeners, our guest speakers, and the incredible team behind the scenes. Remember, every great event includes great people.
And that's a wrap. Keep creating, keep innovating, and keep joining us as we redefine how to make events great.